Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. About once or twice a week, I end up, for various reasons, meetings, text study, going over the Poly Highway over to the other side of the island, over to the windward side. And almost without exception, as I'm on the lower part of Nu'uanu and I get on that lower part of the Poly, as you're just going up the side of the hill, I look up. Because there are all of these absolutely amazing homes on the top of the mountain. And the same house draws my eye each time. It's sort of a postmodern thing with square pieces kind of stacked at different angles up on the top of the mountain. And I think to myself, wouldn't it be something to live way up there and have that incredible view of the ocean over the top of all of the Nu'uanu high rises, and then go out to the other side of your house and look out over the beautiful polys and the clouds spilling over the mountains. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And within about 15 seconds, I'll hit my first pothole. One of 100 that I will hit as I drive along the Poly. That mountaintop experience gives way to the bottom of the hill pretty quickly. And I'm drawn from this fantasied view of the world right back down into the traffic and potholes of my neighborhood. Of the guy who is in front of me driving really, really slowly up the hill. And the guy who, that's Bruce. And then the guy who's behind me in a gigantic pickup who is doing his darndest to push me up the hill at 140 miles an hour. And the poor guy in the Fiat 500 who's driving like this because he's afraid if he hits a pothole, his whole car will disappear. From mountaintop back into the level place. Well, the fact of the matter is most of us live not up on the mountain, but with the potholes. That's our place. In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus moves from the top of the mountain where he has gone with his disciples to pray, and where in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus chooses the 12, and they go from this little paragraph of choosing the 12, naming all the 12 disciples, down into the level place. And it is there that Jesus begins to encounter the people of the plain. He immediately returns himself and the disciples to the level place. If you look at the tradition of the prophets, you will find that often prophets receive their call up on the mountain. And then they're sent down to do their work literally in the level place. And that level place is where the garbage is, where the dirt and the filth and the common people, or in the case of Isaiah and Jeremiah, where the sinners are. And they find their work in the midst of the dirt. And they'll occasionally retreat back up to the mountain and come back down again to do the work to which they have been called. It's interesting that when Jesus calls the disciples, the first place they go is the level place. Not to the dirt and to the filth, not into that place where you will all be told, because that's where we all live, that you are sinners and that you must repent and that you must do all of these things. But immediately Jesus comes down into the level place where he begins to heal them all. It says in the Gospel of Luke that power began to come out of him, and all of them were healed. And he looks at his disciples, and he turns everything upside down. Think about it. In the time of Jesus, it's not, in fact, quite so different as it is in our own time. We revere the mountaintop. And it's pretty easy to identify. I mean, we have our own social strata here in Hawaii, but it's funny. The guy who just spent the most money ever on a single-family residence in the country, where did he buy? Do you remember? It was not on the first floor of an apartment building in Soho. He bought the top, highest penthouse that he could find in New York. It was like $64 million or something for one place to live. Broke the record for the most expensive house. He had broken the record before that by buying something for $54 million. We as a society were pretty clear. Yeah, I mean, how many multi-million dollar houses do you need, right? I mean, when it comes right down to it. But in our society, we know who is blessed because we keep telling ourselves this all the time. It's easy to see, right? It's people who are famous or rich or beautiful or gifted or talented. We as a society revere and love those people. And at least at a certain level within our society, we say that they are blessed. It's obvious. But not to Jesus. Jesus says in this gospel, blessed are you. This is one of those places where words are really important. That word makarios, a blessed, is not in the future tense. It's in the present tense. It doesn't say, blessed will you be someday when there's affordable health care for everybody, when everybody can have a house that they can live in, when hunger goes away. Blessed in the future, someday, you will be blessed. You're not now, but someday you will experience the blessing that you've come to expect. It's not that. It's in the present. Blessed are the poor right now. Blessed are the hungry right now. And then my favorite, blessed are you when people yell at you and revile you and throw you out and exclude you for my sake. Blessed are you right now. Jesus turns the expectations of blessing upside down. It may not be obvious to us or to them that God is a blessing and that God blesses us even in our pothole world. But Jesus reminds the disciples and us that it is so. For you see, God has chosen not to condemn the people in the level place. God has chosen through Jesus Christ to remind them of their blessing. And it's a blessing to which we are unaccustomed. Blessed are you now. And blessed are you now, not just because you suffer, as if suffering and poverty and grief and exclusion are in and of themselves somehow more preferable or honorable. But because even in our suffering and our poverty and our lack of hope, God's withness, remember, Jesus comes down the hill with the disciples. and stays with the people, God's withness becomes even clearer and more evident. And God's promise, a delight. So you and I and all of us stand in the level places with Jesus. For as God heaps God's blessing upon all people, even though most of us clearly do not experience the kind of difficulty some of us do, but most of us don't have hunger and poverty and all of those things coming after us every day, we stand in that same level place because in Jesus Christ, the love of God is for all. But that's not the end of it. Not only do we stand blessed, along with all of this pothole, traffic-filled, hunger-filled, sad world, but we also are sent to be a blessing for others. Just as Jesus does not have his disciples stay up on the mountain, nor does he have them stay in one place to direct all of you to do what you're supposed to do, so God sends each one of us out to be a blessing for the world. Even if we don't think the world deserves it. For that is the nature of God's love. That we have been blessed to serve and to love and to bless the extraordinarily ordinary people of the level place where God has come in Jesus Christ to transform the world. Amen.